Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode.
Give me a thumbs up.
So I was watching this thing on YouTube, right? And no, it's actually called the Goop Lab on Netflix. Have you heard of it?
No, the Goop Club?
So no, it's called the Goop Lab. It's Gwyneth Paltrow, and she basically takes five different things that are coming into like mainstream, like for example, healing through energy. So they put these people on a bed. And this guy is just like with these hands, just moving himself up along the spine, and their bodies are doing all this amazing like movement and exorcism type of thing. What is exorcism? It's about you letting go of all that negative energy inside you. Often you've been speaking to the voice in your head too long, and you've not really released that. So one of them is where they use his hands to remove the energy. Second thing is that this guy gets them to jump into the Antarctic of like minus water, all based on the mind training. The other thing is they teach people to be psychic. So they basically get people to become in tune to their own body and mind.
Intuition
and they become
a psychic. And all that.
The other one is how to reach an orgasm and the power of a female orgasm. And the other one is, I can't remember the other one, but it's really phenomenal. And all these new things are coming into practice. I don't think that it's really going to change much, because if you do all this stuff, it's free and easy. Medicine industry will go bust. I don't think it's as simple as just making something like that mainstream, because it changes everything.
Well, of course, like, it's not going to go, like, that's just, you know, it's going to go mainstream or not. But one thing I'm going to just say off track, I relate to so much, is like the number one about energy healing. So me, I have been, you know, meditating like heavily the last 2 years. I did a 10-day silent meditation last year, and that led me to even more meditation. And so, and about 2 months ago, I started getting more fascinated with energy healing. Even though I'm more skeptical myself, I'm like, there's no way somebody can just move their hands on me. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm feeling better now. And so I'm becoming very more fascinated with it. And I've been talking to a lot of different teachers and different people that are really, I guess you could say, masters or great students and in that space or in that industry, right? And I'm skeptical, but at the same time, I'm very curious, because I have been told always that I have a very strong presence, so I have a very strong energy. So then I'm like, how can I be skeptical to it, because I agree to what they say? You know, I feel that. I feel wherever I go, wherever I talk, whatever I say, whatever I stand for, it gets heard out. So that's, yeah, I just wanted to share that, because that's, and it made me kind of feel like I'm not really that special, because I'm like, I thought, I'm like, okay, I'm on this energy healing spiritual journey. I'm like one of the kind. And then all of a sudden, you just tell me like, oh, the five things that go on mainstream is energy healing. So there's a whole bunch of other people that are also fascinated. But no, to finish off what you were saying, just like anything takes time, you know, like there's like, especially in this day and age, it takes 21 days to change a habit. Really, if anybody has ever read the book Psycho Cybernetics, it actually takes an average to 61 days to change, even to start implement, like start having that change happen within you. And I'm a testimonial, because I quit smoking like 3-4 years ago. From every habit that I have changed in the last 2 years in my life, to like, it's been 2 years that I've been taking cold showers. There's a lot of things that I've done. And just from my experience, it's very true. It takes literally over 100 days for something to become you, the new you, you know what I mean? So that's something like, of course, and it also leads to people's curiosity and how much people are interested, because at the end of the day, you got to want to be into the energy healing, or you got to want to hit a point in your life where it made you research some stuff that led you into a yoga studio that ended up you having a conversation with this person that said, hey, why are you so tense? And then you're like, wait a minute, you don't know me. How did you even feel that I'm tense? Right? So, and then that makes you kind of curious about like, wait a minute, I want to hear what energy healing is, right? So it comes back down to how bad do you really want it? You know what I mean? Like a lot of people, obviously not everyone is going to jump on it, but at the same time, for it to be an article or a thing on Netflix and people are sharing that, it's a good thing. So which means there's a whole bunch of other people are going to at least get curious about this, right? Which is going to create the non-believers and the believers and the people that want to do it and the people that don't want to do it and the people that do it for a week, people do it for 3 weeks, and people do it for a year. I don't acknowledge that. All I acknowledge is that, like, oh, that's cool. Energy healing is becoming a thing. The second thing you were mentioning was, what was the second thing about self-talk?
So just saying, like, I don't know what I was saying, but that you mean on the Netflix thing that I was talking about?
Yeah, it was like an intuition or something. You said the second thing.
Oh yeah, so this psychic trained the other people there to also be psychic, and they were given an object to hold, and they had to try and just say things that came to their head. So, for example, somebody showed a painting. They gave a painting to somebody, and it was that person's brother who died suddenly, and they gave it to the sister as a gift. And she was picking up those things from just this object. And this other thing was, she was giving a reading to somebody who was very skeptical about it all. And she was like, I'm picking up twins. I'm picking up Mexico. I'm picking up a donkey or something. And she was like, nope, I never had a twins. Nope. And the producer, the camera lady behind the camera, she was reading that person instead of the person she's supposed to be reading. Okay. So she broke down. She was like, you're actually reading the producer. And then the producer said how her dad passed away and he wanted to go to Mexico and get married. And they wanted to have a donkey in the ceremony. Mm. So she was reading the producer rather than the person who she's supposed to be reading. And they made them see this image behind it was covered up. And it was three pyramids behind this image, and it was covered up. And everyone tuned in and drew that. And and they couldn't believe how they saw with their third eye or their mind's eye what was behind that image.
Mm-hmm. No, that's interesting. But see, like for me, I'm a very analytic person. So my question is, those people that kind of did that exercise, what influenced them to do what they did in those moments? Right, let's say that it was all a miracle and this person has that talent and they can do that. I think everything is still influenced. And the second thing, the psychic stuff, like I believe it's true, but I also, this is what I believe. I believe we're, like, anyone is psychic. Anyone can really get into a point if you become self-aware enough, if you really take the time to understand yourself. Like in this day and age, we learn about the five senses. You know, nobody ever talks about the other six higher faculties like imagination, perception, reasoning, memory. And if one actually starts working on those skills, on those qualities, they can actually become, you know, that person where they can actually be like psychic. And now one could assume they're psychic is by speaking their own future into reality, whatever we call reality, right? I'm talking about the present moment. So I think that could be a good symbol or a good sign that one person is psychic. If we were to, let's say, obviously I don't want to like put it on record that I'm psychic, but because I have no certification of being a psychic, but I believe that I'm the architect and the psychic of my own life. Everything that's been happening in my life right now is a result of the things that I've been manifesting the last 90 days and the last 6 months prior to that. And everything that's going to keep happening in my life is the things that I'm speaking in reality as we go on, right? So I guess, I love that, of course, but I think I don't like this. Like in high school, I was a part of this like hypnotizing thing. We got on stage and we all got hypnotized, but I didn't actually. And I was like, what's going on? But I don't like the idea of the psychic because the people that are there and are influenced by this, it puts this separation between them that, hey, I'm not that. Like I have to be like that person took years to become a psychic. And I would rather it being somebody doing but see, most psychics are, that's their business and they're trying to make money, right? But if it was actually somebody that was really at the intentions of doing that as an exercise at their seminar, but the seminar is really about increasing your self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and self-compassion and becoming a better person in the modern day, then you're like, wait a minute, what does what about this psychic exercise that we did, what does that have to do with me becoming a better me speaking my reality to existence, me manifesting my dreams and goals in life? Then that, I think the integration and the connection between them could be more like the average person could be like, oh my God, wow, that's actually like, that's good. Like I connect to that. I can actually do that and start doing that in my life by, let's say, using my own imagination to my advantage. The average person thinks close to between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. Okay, so if one is able to even just, you know, start using their imagination to think the thoughts that they want, they can slowly start becoming psychic in their life. I'll give you an example for myself. I was literally talking with my team the other day about how I'm manifesting things so fast. And because, and they asked me why, is because I'm like, I think it's because I have taken the time to spend with myself and calm the monkey down, calm down, and then now I'm able to just listen to the inner voice. Like, we all have it, right? You wake up at night before you go to bed, you're like, I'm going to wake up in the morning and go to the gym. When you wake up in the morning, that voice tells you, like, I'm going to actually stay in. And so that voice, I've been able to get so good at listening to that voice by actually, you know, just meditating. Like, for me, actually, in the last, I did a Vipassana last year, 10-day silent meditation. And now this year, I'm planning on doing a 7-day dark retreat in Guatemala, where I, in a cave, 7 days, full dark. And then I'm planning on going to do like ayahuasca. But the last couple of days, of course, what's happening, and you know, the unfortunate time that's happening right now, I actually started just doing my own little Vipassana at home. So I've been meditating close to 4 to 6 hours the last week. And I will be the next probably 3 or 4 days. And then I start back to my regular schedule. And I believe I'm psychic. Like, I'm speaking literally like the things that's happening in my life every day. It's just literally, it's because I said it's going to happen. I visualize it happening. I imagine myself being on a podcast talking about the things I'm talking about right now, right? So that's just my opinion on the psychic thing, right? It's, I believe anybody can become psychic, you know? Just like anybody could become, you know, whatever they really want. I was going to say an ultra marathon runner, but that was just a thought in my mind. Because I love to be an ultra marathon runner. That's like my fascination. It would be, but I understand the amount of work it takes. Cause like I run 5K, I did a half marathon last year, and it's only in the last 2 years that I've kind of got in this, I guess, physical transformation. Before this, prior to that, I never really even worked out. I wasn't even into the gym. I always use the excuse that I'm really good looking. I don't need to have abs for it. So I pushed off the gym for a long time, but in the last 2 years that I've got into it, running is something that I'm like, man, like. Especially, I just finished this book by David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, ultra marathon runner, Navy SEAL, just an amazing, amazing human being. And I'm like, man, like, I'm like, you know, telling myself 5K in the morning, and I'm like, oh my God, it's 5K, I can't do 5K. And then after, of course, I feel better. And then this guy was doing, you know, when he was training for some of these big races, 135 mile, 100 mile. He's running close to 500 to 1,000 kilometers a week just training for these races. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, the levels, there's so many levels, you know what I mean? We can, as human beings, we can push ourselves. I think that's something that I'm very fascinated about. I'm like, you know, how much more can I push myself? Because right now, every day I think about, I was literally talking to somebody on my team this morning. I'm like, man, why am I even going to this dark retreat? Like, why am I going? Like, I'm already having my own little, you know, like I'm good. Like, I'm literally, realistically, meditation, you know, half hour a day, you're good. Like, you start, even 10 minutes a day, you start really achieving the, like, if you want to just live your life, go to your job, you know, have a happy family. It's just like working out for a mind, right? So a half hour a day is good. So me, in the last 6 months since I've left this Vipassana, I'm like, why did I go to an hour and a half, 2 hours a day? Why am I trying to go do another 10 days and I go another, like, why am I trying to go deeper? You know, but at the same time, I know it's my own fascination because like a lot of good things are happening out of this. But also, the biggest thing I would say is just like my own, I just love spending time with myself. Like, it's crazy what can happen, man. It's just like, I messaged one of my friends that day. I'm like, man, you didn't tell me this stuff is addicting. Like, meditation is very addicting. I was like, all I want to do is meditate these days. And really, another good word I like to usually use with my clients is like, meditation is really just spending time with yourself, right? That's really it. I know the word could sound so like just so out there, right? But really, it's just spend some time with yourself. And I think if to go back to that point earlier, if everybody just started spending time with themselves and was able to start listening to the inner voice, like that voice that tells you exactly, you know, like the one that you wake up at nighttime or the one in the morning, the one that tells you like, yeah, I should start working out. You know, I should start reading more on taxes and learn how to save more money. I should learn how to invest, you know, so I can make, you know, some money. I should, like, build a portfolio. I should start that online business. That voice is the inner voice. But what happens is, though, when you go to, let's say, log on the computer to open that online business and you find out it costs, like, $10 for a domain, $29 for a monthly subscription, oh, it's going to cost, you know, like, 10 hours of your leisure time to learn this skill set to be able to monetize it. And then guess what happens? You're, you know, the surface one, it just like yeah, I'm okay. I'm just gonna do what I have been doing. But I think if we all listen to the inner voice and then did what the inner voice asked us to do, like we just start becoming so like I always say warrior like, you know, like we start becoming alphas in our own lives by just doing, listening to the inner voice, like listening to the inner, once again, inner voice sounds like such a spiritual word, like inner voice, like do I have to go to Nepal and spend 6 months in the mountains to find my inner voice? No, man, it's just, you know, everybody has it. You have conversation with yourself every day. And so start figuring it out, which conversations are real. I think actually the best practice anyone could really just start observing your own thoughts, you know, 12 to 60,000 thoughts a day. Like when I was in my first 10-day silent meditation, it was so funny. I had this like very profound moment. Through the day, we do 10 hours of meditation, and every hour you have breaks and stuff like that. And then you walk in the forest and just kind of all by yourself, no eye contact. And I remember I had this thought, I'm like, oh, am I going to go? Should I go sit back in the hall and just, you know, meditate there? Or should I go back to my room? And I remember in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to go watch my thoughts. And I heard myself say what I just said. And I'm like, what did you just say? You just said, I'm going to go watch my thoughts. Like, what, you think this is like Netflix or something, dude? Like, you're going to go watch your thoughts? So it's always, that's one of those moments I always remember. I'm like, that's what I do now, right? Like, I do different levels of meditation now. Some of them are more advanced because I'm at that point. And there's also different things people want, right? So some people want to be have more self-compassion in their life. Some people want to have more gratitude in their life. Some people want to manifest money in their life so they could start doing like visualization meditation. So there's different types of it, right, that you can use to achieve your goals. But yeah, like for me, it's just like most of the time, especially in the last 2-3 days, it's been like I just sit there for about an hour and just watch the thoughts come. Like I'm just like observing these things come. I'm like, I'm gonna catch you. I want to see what you're about with you, and then I observe you, and then I let you go, and then I wait for the next one. And I think that right there is the process of somebody becoming psychics of their own life. It's funny how the word psychic keeps coming out, but that's, yeah, like they could become really the architect, the creator of your own so-called reality, right? And it's funny because reality is such a funny word, because every second or every 2 seconds or something, like the moment I say this, I just spoke, it's already in the past, you know, it's already become a memory. And so it's like reality is even just like a made-up word that we're talking about, right? But I think what the biggest thing would be is like people, another thing, something that I'm doing myself and I have been doing the last few months is trying to stay present. It's crazy how like nobody's present. Like, and I won't even point fingers. I'm even myself. You know, I thought I was living in the present, and I always think of this saying by Jim Rohn, where it's like, wherever you are, be there. You know, and it really touches me when I hear that, because it's so true. There's so many times in our lives that, like, just literally every day, we're always just kind of jumping like to the next. I was actually listening to a big. I've been listening to Ram Dass and Alan Watts, really the only people the last like month or so. I went on this information fast, I call it, where I don't listen to anyone, but like the people that I just feel like at the time just really are touching my soul, and like it's helping me. So Ram Dass and Alan Watts, these two great, you know, call them philosophers, whatever. I started just really listening to like 3-4 of their audios, and I've been listening to consistently the same ones, and it's just been. It's just interesting, you know. It's just very we're always just like right now, I'm in my mind as I'm talking, I'm like, I can't wait to take a sip of this water. I'm already thinking in the future, right, instead of being in the present of like, oh my god, having this conversation, right? I think that's the biggest thing. I think if people just start becoming present and observers of their thoughts, oh baby, I'm telling you, within 3 or 6 months, not like overnight expectations, but within 3 to 6 months, you actually start seeing some cool differences in your day-to-day activities, in your day-to-day life, you know? Like, it's so interesting. Like, I was like 3 or 6 months into meditation when I was already, maybe it's because I'm an analytic guy, I observe things very, I've always been like that, but I remember 3 or 6 months, I was already like seeing difference in myself. The way when I drive down the highway and I react to somebody cutting me off, and I was starting to see my reaction time was like, I wouldn't react as much, or I wouldn't have a negative reaction to it. And I'd be like, and 6 months into it, 9 months into it, my reactions went more to like, oh, wow, I wonder if that person is in a rush. Like, my thought process went from like, man, that guy fucking cut me off, to, man, I wonder if that person is in a rush. I went more into like a, became a more self-compassion, you could say, self-aware, really, because I started becoming more self-aware. I wouldn't say, I think first somebody has to be self-aware before they can become self-compassionate, they have more self-compassion. Why? Because self-awareness leads to the realization. So I'll give an example, since we're talking about me going in traffic and people cutting me off. Self-awareness is understanding that the words that I speak out of my mouth were already formed first in my heart. So, for example, if that guy cut me off, I'm like, man, that guy fucking cut me off. For me to say those words, I have to generate some type of hate inside me for me to be able to react the way I react. And I started becoming aware that how much, because I was reading so much about like stress and how it really affects you, how the words you speak affects you, how positive affirmations affects you, how like in every little thing in life you have a relationship with, like I have a relationship with money, I have a relationship with my cell phone, I have a relationship with this laptop, I have a relationship with this bottle, and how do I look at my relationships with these things in my life actually affects how I am in a general person. What's that saying? I always say it was one of my good friends that actually would always that brought this to my attention. But like, I'm the inner reflection of the outside world I perceive, right? It's very interesting. You know, to me, it's very interesting that going back to, you know, self observation of your own thoughts. Number two, staying present. Start seeing like. So I do a gratitude exercise. I have like literally notebooks all the way go back to 2016, where every day, one of my mentors suggested, every day I wake up and I just write things that I'm grateful for. And it's funny, like these days I always mention that I'm like, I'm always in a state of gratitude. Like it's rare I fall off that, because I'm writing literally 2-3 pages a day of the things that I'm grateful for. And it's funny, like I started like back in 2016 where it was surface stuff. Like I'm grateful for my mom, I'm grateful for money, I'm grateful for my job, or I'm grateful for my girlfriend and stuff like that. But nowadays, I'm like, once you really start doing the exercise more and more and more, so much other things come to realization that you could be grateful for, right? Especially me, I lived in 3 third world countries before I came to Canada when I was 11 years old, right? So it's like I've also experienced other lives. But being grateful, it really does change everything, you know? Like, it really starts bringing you to become more present. Like, this morning I wrote down, like, I'm just grateful that I can talk. I'm grateful for my fingers. I'm grateful for the fresh food in our fridge. I'm grateful for my car. And I know my sister always says, because I send her my gratitude journal, like, I'll take a screenshot, send it to her, and she's like, it's so crazy, like, how you are like about the most little things that I never even considered to be grateful for, like grateful for your finger, grateful for your tongue, like grateful for your tongue, grateful for your nose, and all these things that she's like, I never thought about it, like to be grateful for it, because I just like, I guess like we take all these things for granted, right? And it comes back to, I'll mention another thing why this is so good to do, like those three things: observe your thoughts, stay present, and practice gratitude. And if someone was very analytical, or they want to really be like, no, I want the studies, go do the studies. I can guarantee you, you'll find a whole bunch of studies why this is good for you. And then hopefully you're disciplined enough to make the commitment to do what I just mentioned, because it's all going to come down to that, right? How bad do we want it? But the other thing that happens through all this is that you start taking control. Of course, we can never really take control of the thoughts that come and go. We just become observers of them. But through these processes, you do start creating the kind of thoughts that you want in your life. You know what I mean? By sitting, waking up in the morning and writing 2 pages of things that I'm grateful. I'm not suggesting everybody write 2-3 pages. It's taking me 3-4 years to get to this kind of thing. I would say start first with just writing 3 things. Like, wake up, I'm so happy and grateful for this, this, this. And you know, I'm so thankful for this, this, this. And just literally it takes 2 minutes. Have a notebook with a pen by your bed. It will take you a minute. And then just get up. And you start actually being in control of your own thoughts. You start really, now you're thinking some thoughts that you want. Instead of waking up in the morning, opening your phone, checking your Instagram likes, and then the moment you open, like me, so my phone is in it. So my house, I have a little a room there, which is the gym. This is like my office, my meditation, and my bed is in the other room. So at 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night, PM, my phone is left in this room and I go to my bedroom. You know what I mean? So my phone, we time out, we separate, because like that's now it's time to myself, time to, you know. So why I'm mentioning that is because the moment I think about that phone, the moment I open that phone, it's already in control. Like it got my attention, right? When I should be using my attention to focus on, like I say, start the morning with some things to be grateful for. You know what I mean? Start some things to be grateful for. But the moment I open my phone, the moment I open I have no TVs in any of these rooms. I don't watch TV. I don't have, like, I barely have time, right? I'm so well focused in my own inner world and the things that I'm doing and my family and the people that I'm close with and just the things that I'm working on, right? It's just like, I always say, I'm like, I'm not competing with no one. The only thing I'm competing with is literally with time. Like, I'm trying to get more time, right? That's the only thing. There's nothing else that I really think that I'm in competition with. Actually, myself. I am working on every day. I'm focused on becoming a better version of me than I was yesterday. Right now, I'm working on making sure I come out of this with a six pack. You know, so I'm sure I'll come out. It depends on how long everything happens, but that's one of the things. Having a six pack, yoga. I'm making sure I do more yoga. That's one thing that I'm trying to do more of for myself in my life. Do you do yoga?
I used to go to a health spa, and there used to be yoga classes there, and I used to do yoga, but then I stopped my job because whatever happened. Okay. And then I cancelled the gym and I stopped doing the yoga. But this is the thing, I'm all for doing yoga. I love all that stuff, but the thing, I want to be the oldest man to live on the planet, right? Which means that I want to live to at least, like, you know, 130. Mm-hmm. And I know that my wrists and my joints have to live for 130 years. And when you do all this yoga stuff, you're putting all your body weight, like 60 kilograms of weight, on your wrists. Mm. Now, I'm very against going to the gym and doing weight stuff, because we're not supposed to be lifting that shit. Like, yeah, we could say we're supposed to swing through the trees, which means our joints are being pulled down. Whereas when we go to the gym, we're pushing against our joints. Mm-hmm. And yoga, you're on the floor putting all the weight on your hands, and that's really bad. Like, it's almost like people just started to smoke years ago and they didn't realize the damage they were doing until like 80 years later. Everyone's doing e-cigarettes because it's healthier than normal smoking. You don't realize the damage you're doing to years later. 3G, 4G, and 5G. We don't realize the damage it's doing to us until later. Yeah. But I just know through instinct that putting all your weight on your wrist isn't very good. My dad was a boxer and he used to always punch the punch bag, and he's got fucked wrists now because of that force going against something. And I've got to make a choice. Do I want to live like the oldest man and have like a steady, gradual, happy life? Or do I want to kind of die at, say, 80, 90, having done all this stuff in the moment, yoga, boxing and stuff, and fuck up my wrists? And I would rather live as long as possible and do other things that make me happy, like have sex, enjoy good food, go for walks. I don't need to go to the gym to make me feel good. There's plenty of other things that can compensate for feeling good. So you were speaking about the meditation. Now, I absolutely agree. It's so addictive that I became a monk in a mountain by myself. I became so happy in meditation that I didn't want to see anybody, because when I would go and see friends, they used to stress me out, piss me off, speak about bollocks, stupid nonsense, and I just didn't like being in their company. So then I would stay at home on a Friday night instead of going out, and I'd just be meditating. And the more you meditate, the higher your vibration becomes, the better you feel. The more in tune you become, the more psychic you become, the more you start predicting things that are going to happen, the more that excites you, the more you start writing stuff, what's going to happen, or this is going to happen on TV, and then it happens, and you go and meditate. It's this vicious circle in the most amazing way, where you only become more in tune to your thoughts and become aware of your thoughts, where you don't want to spend time with people because they just interfere with your vibration.
And sorry to cut you off. I was going to say, it's because I think it's so weird, because people could be like, oh man, you guys are just like lonely, you know, like you're like you're a loner where you want to go spend time with yourself. And that was like the first surface perception. Like I remember I used to hear from like my friends, like, what do you go spend so much time with yourself? But really, one thing you realize is that like, because people that are, you know, goal oriented and that have a purpose in life and they're going after something, the reason why meditation becomes such a like just an addictive practice, obsession, is because we realize and we find out that holy crap, the way for me to manifest my goals the fastest, the way my for myself to stay on track, the way for myself to come up with the business plan that I need to come up with is through meditation. I always say the most important meeting of the day is the meeting I have with myself. So that's the reason why meditation just becomes this like a obsessive thing, because we start realizing that holy crap, what's going to literally fast forward me to my goals and the things that I want to achieve is to spending more time with myself, because I have got the best business ideas. I've got the best ideas for what I want to do. What's the next thing I want to get into, all through just sitting by myself. So really, it's just like, that's why it's such a beautiful thing, because it's like it's the most important meeting of the day. It's the most important meeting of the decade, I could even say, is the meetings that I've had with myself, within myself in this last couple of years. I was going to mention something about, so you mentioned about the lifting weight and the yoga, and like I'm, so this is my opinion. So I believe that there's four pillars. So I believe I'm living up to 120. My grandmother lived up to like 109. So I truly believe I'm going to live 120. This is from based on just, you know, my own journey of things that I've been exposed to. It's four pillars to it, that to living a long, healthy life. Number one is physical lifting. So yeah, you can do that when you mention nature and everything. So me, I've been spending so much time in nature because we were hosting a retreat on this conservation area with one of my best friends who's building this conservation area. So we have been a lot of time in nature and I'm doing a lot of things there. So I believe the four pillars is, first of all, physical activity. So meaning, you know, like move your joints, move your muscles, lift some stuff. Number two is cardiovascular. So you gotta, you know, do some kind of cardio, running, stuff like that, improve your cardiovascular, you know what I mean, your lungs. And number three is flexibility, because you got to make sure that you're flexible and everything like that. And I was literally talking about this yesterday, actually, when I read this book. There's actually a thing called, it's spelled PSOAS. It's like a symptom that you can get from, let's say, if you work out and for like a long time, what happens is you start creating knots in your, if you don't stretch, these knots slowly become, they start kind of blocking, creating slow blood flow to your body, where it will end up leading to, and this is all on a very long period of time, where it will lead to like aging and you becoming fatigued. And the results they found out, because a lot of these Navy SEALs, they started, like they weren't doing that. I read actually in this book. So he stretches 2-3 hours a day now. And it was funny, at 38, at 45 now, he can run 100 miles better and faster than he did when he was 35. So the four pillars, number one, make sure you're lifting, moving your joints, leg workout, all stuff. Number two, cardiovascular. Number three, flexibility. So, you know, flexible, have flexible joints, being able to open, creates great blood flow to your body. And number four is the most important one, which is meditation, which is for the mind. Spending time with yourself to declutter, self-reflect, observe, understand your own self better. You know, analyze your feelings, analyze your thoughts, analyze why you say what you say, analyze why you act the way you act with the most important people in your life. I know, so those are four pillars. So I was gonna say, like, I don't disagree with what you say, because like realistically, like that's one of the reasons. So me, I did a half marathon last year. This year I'm like running right now. I'm either thinking about just doing really fast 5Ks or instead of doing like a full marathon, because of this fascination of doing like a 100-mile race maybe in 3 to 5 years. But then like conversations with my mentors and good friends of mine, they were like, dude, like those guys just break their bodies. So like you're gonna live a full life, but you're gonna be like 60 and things are gonna not look good. Or you can take the gradual process, healthy life, the four pillars you talk about, forest and all that all stuff like that, but do it to where, like you say, you will live up to 120. And of course, one of the biggest things is I believe that a lot of people will live up to 80, 90, but it's their mind and their brains if they can keep it functioning. And I believe that the way you keep your mind functioning is by always challenging your mind. So I wrote down this list of things, 100 things I want to do when I'm 80 to challenge my mind. And the things, So on, they say daily you should be learning new skill sets. So learning how to play the piano, learning a new language, learning the different puzzles. So they say the best way to keep yourself young, especially in your mind, to be keeps working after those ages, really, I would say, is that you want to just always challenging your mind, and not in a really hard way, but just like being in a growth mindset, right? Just always like waking up and learning something new or learning a new language and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess you could say like, you know, I don't disagree with you or agree with you in a sense. And it's just like, it's, I think those four pillars, and actually kind of go not off track, but I'm very fascinated with this fact right here. So I heard this actually, I'm pretty sure on a I'm not sure exactly which podcast it was. And I remember it was actually very transformational, because so after 40 years old in the northern world or wherever you are in the world, really, after the age of 40, I don't remember if it was just men or I know it, I don't remember if it was just anybody, but I'm going to say it was men for sure. He said that after the age of 40, the chances of you're getting a heart attack, something wrong with your nervous system, also cancer, and also a stroke, those four big like killers of old age in a way, right? He said after the age of 40, your chances of those things to get increases by 70%. So for me, being somebody that's like me, even you as well, like where you're like, yeah, I want to live up to 130. If I know that fact, I'm like, okay, after the age of 40, the chances of me getting cancer, cardiovascular, or something wrong with my cardio, stroke, a heart attack, or some kind of nervous thing like Alzheimer or any like these dementia and stuff like that, that we there's out these days, the chance of me getting any of these things is increased by 70%. So I'm like, okay, what can I start doing? Actually, it was Tim Ferriss. So what can I start doing to make sure that I'm not becoming one of those statistics? Right, which leads back to the four pillars, to work on your mind, you know, do that's something that I'm looking like in, wanting to incorporate even more. Literally, I read the book yesterday when I got exposed to that piece of information about the PSOAS. I can't even say the word that it causes those knots, and over a long period of time, it cuts blood circulation to your body. And I was like, oh my God, like, I was like, I gotta stretch more, you know what I mean? And then seeing a guy that's like an ultra marathon runner that says he stretches 2-3 hours a day, you know, 4 hours a day, kind of makes you like, wow, like, holy crap, like, you would assume that he runs more than stretching, but he's like, yeah, stretching is super important. So yeah, as long as you do those four things, there's no reason why we don't have a part two of the podcast in 60 years, and, you know, I think it's definitely possible. But so you don't, like, with the meditation that, like, you do now, is there any specific meditation you do, or do you have do you attend any, like, do you have any plans of attending like any of these like dark retreats or Vipassana, or like, or do you go more in the just mountains in Nepal and find an Airbnb or somewhere in the grass and like, what are you more into, I guess I would say?
So I am very much a extremely independent person. I don't get along with people. Not that I can't, because I get along with everyone, of course. I need to do my own thing. I like can't be led. I can't be influenced. I always have another way of thinking, another answer, a better way of doing it, to the point where I can't be led by somebody who I see as less competent than me. Not that they are good or bad. It's just I am naturally used to taking the lead, and I can't be led, and that's okay. Do I have plans to do any of these retreat stuff? I would love to go and do retreat stuff. And if I did, I would surrender to the master and let them take the lead. And it wouldn't be about me trying to teach him. He would be teaching me, because I'm there to learn, for example. So I would love to do all that type of shit.
Man. Finish what you were saying, and I'll say something that I just had in mind. But finish what you were saying.
So yeah, I used to meditate for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours from like, say, like 1 in the morning till 5. Like, I didn't know what it was called at that moment. I used to be speaking to the voice in my head. I used to believe it was my dead grandma's ghost, right? Really, it was just me becoming in tune to me. And without even realizing, I used to wait for her to make a sign. And whilst waiting for her to make a sign, I had to go into a very silent, deep meditation mode. And amazing things started to happen. The lights started to flicker, TV started to click. things started to move and it's my own energy interfering with the other things. Yeah. And I didn't realize what that was at that time, but I now know that was meditation. I used to imagine my friends seeing what I was doing, like laying on the floor at 3 a.m, just looking up in silence. Yeah. And they're thinking, what the fuck is this person doing? He's crazy. Yeah. Now I know it was meditation. And I became so psychic, so in tune, as I said, that it was so peaceful. What was I going to say? I truly believe that I can cure cancer. Even though I've never done it before, I believe that I could if somebody wasn't too far gone. So they would have to be like on the cusp of you could die or you could live. Because if it's too far gone, your body naturally would just start to rot itself. But if it's like early signs, I do believe that because I've got such strong energy that I could heal them. And if they were to put their body under, say, an MRI scan, they could see the cancer just disappearing. Now, most of the stuff... you can do anything in your life. You can do anything you want with the self-belief. Before any skill, you need to have the belief that you can do it. Because if you have the skill, not the belief, you're the same as just not having the skill at all, right?
Exactly.
If you don't believe that you've got psychic powers, you won't be able to. If you don't believe you can hypnotize, you can't. If you don't believe you can cure cancer, you won't be able to. If you don't believe that you can sell millions of records as a singer, doesn't matter how good you are, you won't be able to. So first step to doing anything is a belief that you can do it.
Exactly.
And next you can learn the skill. Exactly. I can teach somebody how to personal train, even though I've not got the qualification, because it's just confidence and the knowing of what results do you want. So self-belief is crucial. But the thing about the cold showers, right? I've always read about this stuff and I listen to Tom Billy speaking about cold showers every morning. And I've realized that you can't just suddenly decide in that moment to turn the cold on. And you got to mentally prepare yourself and you've got to do your exercises of breathing like... you can't just suddenly jump in because you're going to be like, fuck! I realized that if you do the breathing first and you mentally prepare yourself and you can do it. But what I want to ask you is, do you suddenly go from hot down to cold or do you just suddenly go into a cold shower and then you do the breathing and then you suddenly your skin becomes numb because it's cold and now you can cope? Is that how you do it? Because I've not done it before. And at my gym, there was a plunge pool and I never did it because it was fucking cold. But I get why people do it. I get it now. It's like an immune response.
Yeah, no, like, so now I just jump in and it's like fully cold. Like I literally turn a shower to full cold and I just jump in and do my shampooing, everything under the cold shower. But keep in mind, it's been like 2-3 years that fully my body is used to it and accustomed to it. But when I first started, I actually would start when I'm taking my hot shower, and then at the end when I'm getting out, I'll turn it to full cold or slowly, you know, all the way, like it's just a slow process, and I take like 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and I slowly build myself up. But see, like this is the coolest thing about this though. Everything I have done when it comes to like the cold showers, when I started going to the gym for 60 days, because my mentor said, like, this is like about 2 years ago, I remember I was telling you I never went to the gym. And how I started going to the gym was because my mentor was like, just start going to the gym for like 60 days for no, like, just show up, just make a commitment. You don't even have to go work out there, just show up. And that's how I went for 60 days. Some days I wasn't even working out, I go stay in the steam room. And after 60 days, it became a habit to go there, and I haven't stopped since. So same thing with cold showers. When I started cold showers, I had a deeper reason beside it, because I watched a TED talk about these guy about talking cold showers and about how he ended up 5 years later, suddenly met up with a friend. There's a talk about this on TED, cold showers, I'm sure you'll find it. But yeah, we met up with an old friend, and he realized that he's talking to him, that this guy is kind of in the same position that he is right now that he was 5 years ago. And he's like, man, well, that's crazy. And so he started, anyways, how it led to him, where like, I'm going to start taking cold showers because I'm tired of doing the comfortable thing. I'm going to start winning the first battle of the day. So me, when I started cold showers, was because I had just started sales, and it was cold calling on the phone, and I've never done it. So I started this job back in around 2016, 2017, and I'm like, okay. And I remember watching these talks about cold showers and stuff like that, and, you know, you want to win. And I'm watching videos on closing and how to close the customer, persuade, communicate, and all this stuff like that, sell your product. And I talked about this guy mentioned about cold showers. He's like, how if you want to be a good closer, you want to win that first battle of the day. So he's like, you know, when you get up in the morning, instead of wanting hot, you take that cold shower. So when you go to work, you're already fired up. When the customer says something to you, like, it doesn't matter to you. You come out already just like your blood is just pumping. You like you won the first battle of the day. So that's why I actually started cold showers, because I was starting sales, and it was very uncomfortable for me, and it just seemed like the proper thing to do. I've always been kind of like, you know, that type of person that's like, where like the cold shower thing sounded like a good idea at the time to do, to be fired up to show up to my sales job. And then what happened was, within the first couple of weeks, like, I was breaking record at that place, and I did really well at that job. And the cold showers, I just stuck with it. I'm like, man, this is actually cool. Like, it's, I'm, you know, like, I am, because I don't drink coffee. I don't drink, I literally, I don't take workouts or nothing. I literally just eat the way I eat and drink my water. That's the only thing I drink. And it's, so the cold shower just became a thing. Like, I just started just taking more cold showers. And then in the last 2 years, like, when I started training for a marathon, I noticed that, you know, running every day, 5, 10K every other day, and I'm training for this. I remember when I go and take my cold showers, it always healed my pain. Or I remember, like, these are realizations that I'm having, right? As I've, like, through, let's say I'm working out and I have, like, those days where I have strong leg days. Like, my legs literally hurt when I'm leaving the gym. I noticed when I take a cold showers, it helped heal the pain faster, right? So those are the reasons why I started, like, I stuck with cold showers. Because realistically, even Tom talks about, like, doing it for 30 days or doing it for, like, a week, or just to get yourself out of your zone, right? Not a lot of people end up making it, like, a full-time, like, this is all I do now. I take cold showers are the way I go, right? But to answer to your question, though, is, yeah, like, I started with, you know, slow. Like, I'd literally take my shower, shampoo, and at the end, 10 seconds. Then I'll do 20 seconds, then 30 seconds. Then it's just like a minute. Then I would start, like, you know, literally, like, washing myself. And then eventually, like, where it's crazy how the body is, though. Yeah, and then it got, I literally, like I said, now I jump in the shower, 3, 4, 5 minute shower, and I'm shampooing everything fully cold. My breathing is under control, all that stuff. Like, it, I don't even really think about anything. It's just like a normal shower, right? If I turn it literally to, like, where it's normal, I start feeling hot, right? Because my body's not used to hot now. You know what I mean? And then also, the other thing for me is, like, I got, we called it climatizing when I worked on the oil rigs. So back in, like, my early 20s, I worked on the oil rigs in Alberta, which is, like, literally the second toughest job in the world and the third dangerous job in the world, that what we did as a roughneck. And I remember working in minus 50s, you know, doing 12, 14-hour days. And it's, like, it really built in, like some strong discipline and patience, and taught me some stuff about being able to take the cold. Because we'd be outside for, you know, 12, 14-hour days. Obviously, not the whole straight 12 hours that you're going back and forth. But, like, those things kind of taught me about, like, just the power, like, you know what I mean? Like, how much I can actually take, right? So when I was, like, doing this cold shower, or when I started, like, I do a lot of fasting because that's how I lost a lot of my weight. Like, when I did the 3-day fast, it was, like, it was all mental. It was all mental, you know what I mean? But I would say, I always say, like, the cold showers were, like, the foundation of me being able to become uncommon, meaning, like, I was able to do uncommon things, and it was just easy now. It wasn't like, if I told myself I'm going to do something, I just do it. I'm like, well, whatever. It's uncomfortable. Well, that's part of the process there, baby. Just like, do it. Like, you said you're going to do it. So that's what happened when I started intermittent fasting. It was not easy, but because of, like, going through the process of the cold shower, knowing that nothing worthwhile is easy. So when I do something hard, I know that, man, it's going to actually, like, the benefits are going to be much more, right? And that's how I start, like, intermittent fasting, to let me do, to, like, 3-day, 4-day fast. And it's all just mental. But I always go back to where all these positive changes that I have made in my life, I want to literally dedicate them to cold showers. Because cold showers were one of the first positive habits that I started building within myself, that kind of started that process of change. Literally after cold showers, I quit smoking cigarettes. In the next, you know, year, so I had doubled my income again. I started a business. I started learning about investments. I changed the whole direction of my life. And you got to keep in mind, because we just started talking about the meditation, the gratitude exercise, and stuff like that. Back in 2016, I had not started any of that stuff like that. The gratitude thing, I was starting to say to myself without even having a journal. Like, I had a journal, I think, at the time, like, but I wasn't doing as much of it, where, like, I would write maybe 5 things, I'm grateful for this. But the cold showers were, like, the beginning of the foundation of me being able to stay persistent towards achieving any goal that I wanted for myself, even when the motivation, the excitement died, you know, because it... In the, after a week or so, the motivation of wanting to get a six-pack dies. Like, this morning, I did not want to get up and work out. I did not want to get up and do a 5K run. Like, I didn't. Like, I literally was, like, in my bed. I'm like, oh, and then I wake up. I meditate for a half hour. Then I do, like, a five-minute box breathing. And then I usually, like, put my outfit on and I go for my 5K run. And I, like, I was literally, my mind was giving me, like, five good reasons why I shouldn't go. You know? And, but when I, but I know that now. I know that my, that's how the mind is. But I was like, nah, my mind is not winning. I went, did my 5K, came, worked out. And it's funny how amazing I felt, you know? I think it's funny how the one thing we, a lot of people I wish realize that is, like, just, like, nothing good in life is just easy. Like, happiness equals growth. Growth equals happiness. So, like, if you're not growing in any area of your life, you're going to find some really, like, you're not happy, you know? Like, you might not be happy emotionally because you feel lonely and you don't have a loved one in your life, but then you do some more research on yourself and find out that the reason why you're feeling lonely is because you don't even love yourself, right? So it can get really deep. But my point is that, you know, like, I wish more people, like, a lot of people can really get these kind of answers through, like, find out that, you know, like, just life is not supposed to be easy. Even Buddha said life is suffering. Like, Buddha, the most calmest person, like, you know, he said life is suffering. So, but, and like also Jim Rohn, where he said, you know, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. So, you know what I mean? Don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills, right? So I think I always get called Mr. Optimism, but I think, like, through these kind of little things, you know, if we, people just kind of got the realization, especially if we were to go back and at the end of this, people listen to this, and what I would love for them to take away is, number one, observe, start observing your thoughts a couple of minutes a day. Second, start being present in your life. Maybe if you're really feeling good and you want to become that warrior, godlike person in your life, become the architect of your life, start some cold showers, start, you know, do some intermittent fasting, start. And none of these things you will notice when you listen to me is that I'm I don't tell you to start intermittent fasting to lose weight. I don't tell you to start cold showers to become, I don't tell you to go to the gym to become, have a six pack. Nope. Do it because you want to become a winner at life. You know, I go to the gym because, like, I want to be healthy. I want to become the person I told myself I'm going to become. You know, I do intermittent fasting because I want to build my discipline and my non-attachment to food, because I realized that, like, realistically, if we were to look back, you know, thousands and millions of years ago, like, we weren't eating three meals a day. That sounds like a commercial to me, you know? So these are all things that, like, me, I'm just, you know, fascinated with. And I wish if more people just started doing these kind of things for the purpose of just becoming a more better version of themselves, it, like, a whole world will start changing, and they will start seeing little changes in themselves by becoming, you know, they will notice. Like, if you take cold showers for a week, I guarantee you, you start feeling some more confidence and self-esteem in yourself. You start talking differently. You start speaking. You just start looking at your own self differently. You start waking up in the mornings when you leave the cold shower. You're like, man, I'm somebody else, man. Like, I'm, you know, like, you start building integrity within yourself. You know, and if some of the people listening don't understand what integrity is just telling you, doing the things that you said you were going to do and doing them. And that actually builds integrity within yourself, which starts building self-confidence, self-esteem. You start becoming just a more vibrant person, a happier person. And to kind of go what I was saying earlier, like, about happiness equals growth, growth equals happiness. So, like, if anybody that wants to be happy, I hope that they take one of these things from this podcast, or they, even they didn't take anything away from this, they just be like, you know what, I'm going to, like, start, that makes sense. Happiness equals growth. Damn, I want to be happy. Okay, so I got to grow. Even if you Google that, I'm sure you'll come out with some kind of practical thing that you can start doing in your life that will, you know, make some changes. But to, actually, let me say about cold showers. So me right now in Canada, obviously, so I have a bed with a friend of mine because I want to do more cold exposures. That's what I call it. So try to get to colder water, like get my body into colder water. So this winter coming up, because right now it's, you know, like April, so the lakes have already melted some of them. And so we're actually, me, I'm planning on diving, like dipping in like a frozen lake and just seeing how much of it I can take. I had a couple of my friends that did it in Michigan. And I don't know if you follow like Wim Hof and like whole cold exposure and like ice stuff like that, right? So me, I was writing that in my journal yesterday. Like, I'm very fascinated to cold exposure.
Like, so meaning... one thing, the next thing I told you about, the Goop factory, it was Gwen Hoff. He was taking them through their... It was him. He was guiding them. He was going, hoof, hoof, hoof. And then they all jumped in the stream afterwards. So yeah, it was him. Go on, continue.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So yeah, like I'm very fast. So I literally have in my, so I write every year I do this. Like let's say this year, I grab a piece of paper and I write like December, January 1st, 2020. And at the bottom, I write January 1st, 2021. And then I write down a list of things that I want to achieve this year that I want, like just in a real ideal world, what would I love to do this year? And I write that page out, right? And then like, I want to travel. I want to go do a meditation session. I want to go, you know, learn salsa dancing, like whatever it is, right? And so one of the things this year was to like, I would love to like do one of the Wim Hof, like that he's got those retreats and excursions and stuff like that. Like I would love to do them, but I think I was really thinking like really like I was expecting too much from myself. Maybe in 2021, I'll be more ready for it as I am doing more cold exposures. And I just started, like I was saying, I just got into box breathing. I'm not sure where I learned the concept, but like, you know, where you breathe 5 seconds, hold the breath 5 seconds, then breathe out 5 seconds, and then hold 5 seconds. And I heard that there's a lot of benefits to it and stuff like that. So I just started. And one of the reasons why I really started is because I noticed when I run and like, I just don't have, like I know some people, like if they do these, like hold your breath and they can hold their breath for like 30, 40 seconds. And me, I've never been able to hold my breath longer than 10 seconds. And so for me, I'm just like, you know, like I don't really have strong lungs, but like, of course, in a way I was smoking at a young age and stuff like that. And that could maybe have a reason for it. But so me, I know that through practice though, I can improve my breathing. Like I can be able to have a higher stamina, be able to hold my breath for longer, and especially the kind of things that I'm really into, like the cold showers and the running long distance, or you know, even going sitting in a cave. Like it involves you to be able to breathe properly, to be, you know, get in tune with yourself. And I guess interesting how there's so many different breathing styles. Like I didn't even know. Like I thought it was just like, you know, breathe in, breathe out. Like what's the most complicated thing about this? But there's like, like just breathing through your nose alone, in and out, and like there's like oceanic breathing, and like yeah, there's different concepts. But it leads to go back to like the Wim Hof thing though. Yeah, I'll just love to like, cause like I believe he's gonna live up to like 120 for sure. I believe he's gonna live up to 120. Like the thing is like, who knows? Like, you know, I guess in a way, but at the way he is going and the way the things that he does, you know, like I really believe, I'm like, man, this guy, he's gonna be like the first one where I truly see in my own lifetime that, hey, like if you just, you know, cold exposure, breathe properly, and all the things that he really does. I'm actually curious what he eats, because you never really see what he eats. Like I wonder if he's like drinking Coca-Cola. I don't think there's no way. I feel like he probably eats like a plant-based lifestyle, or maybe he's like out up there, like so they're getting like maybe some nice organic mountain goat or something. I don't know. But I'm actually curious to see what Wim Hof has for food. Like, who knows? He might be a guy who takes shots of vodka, and that's why his exposure to cold is so high, you know? You never know. But I'm actually, that's one thing. I'm always curious. So it's funny, like, we grow up, especially, like, I grew up really poor, and if you grow up watching TV and stuff like that, and you kind of never... This is a realization that I had myself, that you never really see, like we grow up to where we think like movie stars and actors and all these people we see on TV and in all these different billboards, that they're like these, like, wow, like they must be talented. Like there's no way. And we never truly, like, you know, the regular society never really shows you like these people, like they're average people. And like, what do they eat? Like, what do they read? And that's one thing I love social media. And I love the new age where information is everywhere and anybody can search it to their favorite actor, artist, and really find out what they're eating, through what they're smoking, through what kind of books they read and all that stuff like that. And that's probably one of the biggest positives for me about this new digital age that we have been living the last, you know, 10, 20 years. And where it's coming to is the fact that you can start, you know, you can see these things where like, oh man, like the people that are, you know, that are doing, you think they're doing amazing, or the healthiest, or like super godlike, let's go over like Wim Hof or something, you can actually, you know, message them on Instagram probably and be like, hey man, what do you eat for breakfast? And I'm sure somebody on his team would message you, DM you back in a couple of weeks, like, hey, Wim Hof actually has, you know.
Do it. I want you to do that. I want you to write that down now and do it.
Yeah, I'm literally writing it out right now. DM and message.
To ask him what he has for breakfast. You know? So, speaking about food, I've been fasting every day for almost a year now. So last meal, 8 o'clock, and I eat after 12 o'clock. So that's a 16-hour fast. Just drink water if I get hungry to counteract the stomach acids. Okay. I have a tea in the morning. But yeah, I've been fasting for a year now. I lost a stone and a half. So I used to be like 10 stone or something. I used to eat just all the time, non-stop eating, just late at night, in the morning, eat. It's just like it becomes part of your life, like going to the gym after work, eating, looking in the fridge, eating, like no reason why you're eating, just eating bollocks, basically. Yeah. And then I started to fast, and I lost a 1.5 stone. I'm now 8.5 stone.
Okay.
But I feel so much lighter. I don't feel sick as much. I don't really fart because I used to eat like carbohydrates and crap food. Now I live pretty much a ketogenic diet, and I find that I don't really fart anymore, and I shit twice, and it's nice and simple, and that's it. That lasts me through to the next day. Was I used to be shitting like 4 or 5 times a day, and it just never ended. So fasting is a crucial thing to longevity, because it slows down your body's ability to. If you give a plant loads of like food and water, it will just suddenly grow, because it's like, great, I'm getting all these nutrients, I can grow. If you give your body all this food, it's like, right, well, I can just keep dividing my cells because I'm getting all this food. Yeah. Whereas if you fast, like, actually, I won't divide just yet. I don't know when I'm going to get food next. So now you're not like, you're not aging as quick, because your body doesn't know when it's next going to get food, which is why fasting is so important. And I find that, you know, these Tom Billy programs, they speak about cold showers, fasting, ketogenic diet, sleep, meditation. If you listen to each person that comes on and you implement that, you're going to be a fucking superhuman, because each of these people are superhuman in their own field. But if you were to do all the things that they say, you will become a superhuman, because they're literally God in each sense. Now you're like 50 gods in one lifetime, because all these people are just... You wouldn't know about them if you didn't have online, because there'd be one in China, one in India, one in America, one in Poland, and they've all got their own techniques of survival. Honestly, it's powerful, and I literally just listen to each one and I do it.
Oh, it's true, and it's funny you mentioned Tom, because, like, yeah, so I was, before I went on this kind of information fast in the last few months, but that I would listen to a lot of all that, and I did a lot of, I implement a lot of that stuff like that. And what happens is, it's like in all stages of our life, we kind of keep elevating, right? So it starts with first reading those first couple of books too, where, and me, like some of the people in my inner circle say these days, they're like your schedule is like an Olympic athlete's schedule. Like, it's like you're on a whole different level. I'm up at 4 by 7 o'clock. I've already done, like, you know, my meditation, self-affirmations, box breathing, worked out, did my run, did my gratitude exercise. Now I'm feeling like super warrior, like happy, and I'm like, okay, let's do what we got to do for the day, right? And so now I like it, you get to a point where, like, I don't even need that information of what Tom and all these guys share, right? But you're right, though, that stuff, if people just start literally watching some of those interviews with Tom, and he brings on these all super achievers at life, you know, not super achievers with money, but at life, where they have the most amazing habits that led them to freedom, happiness, joy, you know, peace, and massive happiness in their lives overall, I would say. So yeah, if people like listen to that stuff and actually just took one thing away from each of them, I'm telling you, in literally 6 months to a year, you would see a drastic change in your life. And you know what? I will actually say that with full conviction, because I'm actually a testimonial of that, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in a terrible country, poor, low, under middle class, to where the things, that's information that I've been exposed to the last 3 to 5 years, and by me implementing them, I've become someone of where, you know, influence in my own inner circle and the people around me these days because of these habits. So if one actually listened to this podcast and they wanted to be, you know, their best version of themselves within, you know, literally see some awesome changes within the first 6 months, you know, they could literally watch some of those Tom Billy stuff. And it's funny how easy it is too. Like, it's just leisure time. We already got our phones in our hands. We're already researching stuff on YouTube. Instead of researching how to dunk a basketball, how to, you know, move forward in my life. You know, how do, you know, how do 10 best documentaries on Netflix, best 10 best Netflix documentaries on health. You know, like the information is there as well. And it's funny, I was reading this the other day about, you know, anybody that mentioned about, like, you know, what, that wants to achieve something in life or they want to do something great in their lives and stuff like that. It's, you know, I always say, like, it is so simple that anyone can do it with just a simple change. You know, like, you get up in the morning, you jump in the shower, turn it cold and make it fun. And you know what? That's the one thing I want to share, because anyone that listens to this, I want to make sure that they do get, you know, I'm sometimes taken as very like a Navy SEAL like disciplined person, but I think I have the most fun in life. I laugh so much. I enjoy so much of my life every day. And one of the things that I would say through all this, make sure that, you know, if you start the self-observation of your thoughts, that it doesn't become something that's like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. If you start cold showers, I hope it doesn't become something where like, oh, I don't want to do that after a couple of days. I hope that through this all processes that you have fun doing the process. You know, so if you start self-observing your thoughts every day, and the first couple of days where you're sitting there and you're observing your thoughts, and after a couple of minutes, you're like, wow, this is hard. I can't do this. Oh my God, I'm having so many thoughts. So you start thinking about your bills, and the other time you get stressed out and you're like, oh my God, like, this is not worth it. Have fun with that process. Like, I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy, but have fun with it. You know, after the second day, you get better. After the third day, you get better. After the fourth day, you notice that, oh my God, I actually feel a little calmer. Like, when I sat down, my head was kind of bang, bang, bang from the car, the music in the car. But now when I sat home and I just did the meditation, I just focused on observing my own thoughts for a couple of minutes, I feel lighter. Oh, that's kind of cool. And have fun doing that, right? And the second thing, you know, the gratitude thing, is to have fun doing it. It should make you smile. It should make you happy as you're doing it. The cold showers, that's got to be fun. How is it not going to be fun jumping in the shower and turning it cold and going, oh my God, you know, that should create some excitement and enthusiasm in your life, right? And then if you're watching all these Tom Bilyeu stuff or watching any of these documentaries on self-growth and stuff, I'm telling you, that is the beginning of becoming warrior-like in the modern day. That's what I push. I always talk about, you know, the three big things that I talk about with, you know, the message that we really share at our retreats is like, you know, self-compassion, you know, emotional intelligence, and self-awareness. These three things, you know. So these three things, if one really does start taking charge, start becoming more self-aware. Like, how can you become self-aware? Start just questioning yourself. Like, why do I think the way I think? What's my relationship with money? Why do I want to go to college? Or why do I want to go travel? This kind of thought process, these quality questions will lead to quality answers. That's what Tony Robbins says. So if you start asking these kind of questions, it will lead to self-awareness. Number two, how can you become more self-compassionate? Have more self-compassion. You can start, I know, just asking yourself, you know, everything can start with yourself. Like, do I love myself? Do I love my habits? Am I proud of myself? Like, in the last month or so, have I done anything that's kind of made me like, hey, like, man, I'm a confident guy. Do I have self-esteem? Like, you know, why am I single? Why am I married? Why am I, like, you know, those kind of questions will lead to more self-compassion. Because if you answer, like, do I love myself? And you answer, no, I don't. And you got to remember, these questions, when I say quality questions, leads to quality answers and leads to a quality life. You have to make sure that you reflect on these questions. So if you ask, am I lonely? Do I love myself? Reflect on that question. Like, be like, okay, do I love myself? And let the thought come. Like, do I, like, what, like, find out the answer to that. And if the answer to that is yes, well, you're already on a good process, my friend. But if the question for most people, I believe it will be no, it will be, no, I don't love myself. Then really dig deeper. Like, dude, you're out there looking for a relationship in your life, and you just answered yourself that you don't love yourself. So how do you expect anybody else to even love you? Like, boom, all of a sudden things get a little more real. And then you can start asking questions like, okay, so why don't I love myself? And as you start asking that question, you start finding out that the reason why you don't love yourself is because you don't have the right habits. See, you want to go to the gym and have a six pack, but you always procrastinate and you sit down and watch Netflix. So really, the reason why you don't love yourself is because you're not proud of the person you are right now. See, self-compassion. How do you find it? You get to these questions where it can get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper as you analyze yourself and see how much it takes time, right? It takes time out of your day, because instead of all this, I bet you most people just want to think about Netflix, their likes on Instagram, or their job, their bills, the person they're going to hang out. They're like in fast forward mode, right? They're not present to focus on the present moment, which will lead them to figuring things like this out, right? So self-awareness, self-compassion, and the third thing that we teach a lot is emotional intelligence. Those are the three pillars of what we do. Emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence is just like, you know, how are you? How do you, are you proud of the way you handle situations in your life? Are you proud of the son you are? Are you proud of the brother you are? Are you proud of the employee you are? Do you lose it a lot? Do you have anger? Do you, like, can people emotionally influence your thoughts process? And when is the last time you got mad? When is the last time you reacted on a situation that you didn't really were proud? Well, you weren't proud of yourself the way you reacted to it. So emotional intelligence, if somebody wanted to become these three things, like, start really digging deeper and how these three pillars could really drastically change their life. That's the thought process, you know, self-awareness, start questioning. Okay. You know, like, where am I at? You know, I'm trying to go buy a car this year for $50,000, but I don't even have a job. You know, like, I'm trying to travel the world, but right now I'm working this job and I'm in debt. So self-awareness will kind of start really getting you to connect to the reality of things, which will make it more like, okay, now this is what I actually have to do, which will lead, you know, now you're kind of getting into the right process. Self-compassion, start asking yourself, just start with yourself. Love, do I love myself? Do I love the people around me? The people around me, do they love me? And stuff like that. This simple process, if somebody is actually really committed, they would get a notebook and write this stuff down. Self-compassion, look, I got 1, 2, 3, 4 here. I write a lot, right? So I'm very big on analyzing myself and analyzing these, you know, 12 to 60,000 thoughts that we have a day. And the last thing that one I was talking about is the emotional intelligence. If one just starts focusing on, like, how can I improve myself, improve my emotional intelligence, they could drastically double, triple their income, change their whole life within 6 to 12 months. I'm a testimonial of that. Especially emotional intelligence. I was reading this article on LinkedIn about a couple of weeks ago about, it's actually the number one thing big corporate Fortune 500 companies look for in leadership positions and like employees that they're hiring, their emotional intelligence. Like, how emotionally intelligent is this person? Meaning, like, how is he going to react to situations when things get hard? How is he going to handle a situation when something that he was planning on doesn't go the way he wanted? You know, does he have self-control? Does he have patience? Does he understand that it takes time to execute a plan? And is he willing to stay committed to the whole thing? So emotional intelligence, man, if I know a lot of people in this day and age, more people would be more like, if I was like to make two courses, how to truly love yourself and how to make $10,000 in the next 3 months. 97% of the people, you know, between 20 to 35 in this day and age would go buy this course, how to make $10,000. They wouldn't even care about it. And it's funny that this, both the courses, I would have the same information, you know. And you can, emotional intelligence, if you really like money is the thing that wants to, like, that's something you're after, I guarantee you, if you focus on emotional intelligence, you will actually drastically change your economic career within the first few years of understanding what emotional intelligence can do for you. And it can, like, and once again, like, I'm somebody that always talks, like, I am, the things that I'm talking, I'm not preaching, I'm living this. Like, this is what I do, this is what I'm doing. I never, ever, ever talk about something that I don't know about or I'm not doing on my own day-to-day basis. And that's one thing that I'm very, very, you know, I guess you're going to say, proud of myself for that, because, like, it's just no point, right? I'd rather talk about the things that I'm already doing. And there's a lot of things that I'm already doing that I can talk about, so I don't really have to talk about anything else outside of that, right? But those three pillars, I hope one actually takes away and start the process, because, like, oh, baby. Like, happiness, like, what's Jim Rohn used to always say? Like, happiness is a skill, you know? It's a skill. It's not just something that you just become. No, happiness is a skill, and if you work on it, well, guess what? You start having the skill eventually to where, even when you wake up in the morning, like yesterday, through my meditation, I start feeling sad. And I'm like, why am I feeling sad? And I realized, I'm like, oh, this is just a thought. Like, this is going to pass. And then I was like, watched it. I'm like, and then it passed. And then I was like, then I smiled. I'm like, oh, see, like, that was just a thought. And
I truly believe that meditation is the cure to almost all problems, just like medication is the cure to all problems, because you change the mind and then the body changes itself. And I went from having so many thoughts and Tourette's to meditating where I had no thoughts at all whatsoever. But what I will say is, right, I have to stop the podcast now, because I need to stop, but just quickly plug anything you want to plug, websites, stuff that you're doing right now.
Awesome. So I just launched Mind and Body Retreats. So on Instagram, my handle is Mind and just the end, the letter Body. So follow me on Mind and Body. We just started the Mind and Body Retreats website that will be coming. We're focused on self-compassion, emotional intelligence, and self-awareness. That's the pillar. So there's going to be a blog, YouTube, all the stuff is coming out in the next 3 to 6 months. If anybody that's interested would love to connect with me. If you have questions about meditation, I got some free courses that are coming up. I'd love to help you. I'd love to show you exactly how you can become a happier, more, richer and wealthier version of yourself. So connect with me. I'm always looking to connect with anybody that's on that same vibration as me.
Cool. I'm going to press stop, wait there, and I'll just say goodbye, okay?
If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram, yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.